This morning during this devotional time, I'd like to direct our thoughts toward the theme of wisdom from above. You know, it's interesting to study people, their characters, their personalities. Our personalities and our characters are products of many things, I think. I think we're born with different tendencies, different traits. And how we are raised affects how these traits develop. And when these traits are undisciplined and unchecked, our personalities decline, they deteriorate. There are people who are blustery. There are people who are timid. People who are strong. People who are weak. People who are bold. People who are fearful. People who are proud. People who are humble. People who are aloof. And there's people who are personal and personable. People who are forward, and there's people who are retiring. People who are inflexible, and there's people who are pliable. You know, there's a sense that our personalities are the essence of our character, that the way we act is who we are. You know, some people are a pleasure to be with, some people are a pain to be with. As Adam's children, we don't generally have to work hard to become self-centered. Our children don't need a lot of prompting to be possessive with their toys. Now, you need to look out for that. Seems it comes naturally. Being self-centered is something that comes with very little extra effort. What takes cultivation is a life and a mind that's controlled by the power of God. A life changed. A heavenly beginning that overrides those earthly tendencies that we're born with. You know, the scripture uses different words to describe different parts of this changed life. What is the word picture from John 3? Tell me. Help me. The new birth. Nicodemus was there and he was trying to find out from Jesus what it is that he needed to change, or what were the things that were really important. Man needs a divine new start. Jesus was explaining that he must be born again. Man's new start needs to supersede that natural birth, and in that way it's kind of like a new start. We need the new birth, the birth of the Spirit, to overwrite that genetic disposition to sin. You know, people today argue a lot about the relevance or the worth, or whether it's good or bad, about genetically modifying seeds. You know, something that you can insert a gene that's not native to that plant that makes it resistant to herbicides, say, in the case of or glyphosate herbicides. I don't want to enter that controversy this morning. That's not the purpose of this devotional time. But there's a sense that when we receive the new birth, our genetic code is overwritten. We are genetically modified so that we can resist those things that would have used to drag us down and kill us spiritually before. We're no longer bothered by them. We're changed by our new Heavenly Father, where we no longer follow our old impulses, but the impulses of that new Father. John 3, the new birth. 1 John 3 speaks of passing from death to life. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. It is like there's a spiritual awakening that takes us from death to life. And that's the essence of this changed life, or a manifestation of this changed life. A supernatural ability to love, something that we didn't possess before when we were dead. Passing from death to life. What does Romans 12 verse 2 talk of? The renewed mind, being transformed by the renewed mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, something renewed is something that has been changed from the condition it was to a different condition, a different reality. It has been fixed up. It's new now. Ephesians 4:22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. A renewed mind, a new man created after God. Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. A transformed mind, a new man, a power to change that comes from outside of ourselves. The Bible contains a lot of examples from people and their stories, and we can learn from their examples. I think of Nabal. I think it says in the King James, a churlish man. I don't know if that word is used more than once in the Bible. I kind of like how it sounds. It just sounds kind of like a nasty old guy. Churlish man. He had a gracious wife, Abigail, though that stepped in, was able to prevent catastrophe with her gracious response. Think of Ahab, a grown man, lying there on the bed pouting, or however it was. And wanting to have his neighbor's vineyard and his miserable wife that only enabled him in his selfishness. King Saul, how childishly he acted toward David. You know, I don't know where you find yourselves this morning. I'm not always pleased with where I am, with how I respond to the things and the people around me. You know, the Bible examples were basically people responding to others who were better favored or more noble than they. In a few words, Nabal, Ahab, Jezebel, and Saul were self-centered individuals with self-serving interests. Isn't that right? Interests that resulted in ill will toward circumstances or others. I confess that I personally sometimes respond with some ill will toward circumstances around me. In the last month or so, I'll just be up front here. The rain situation, Kansas, that's usually something that is not too far from our consciousness. Seems that the rains have been very spotty, and well, spotty rains have their place if the spots occasionally include your farm. like last week, they're giving us some rain in the forecast. There's a chance for 2 or 3 days here, you know, okay. And we're working on a roof job up close to Sterling. One morning we drove up there and we were just, you know, driving in the mud on the road to get up there. I think maybe up where Lauren is, you might have been, I don't know that you were taking rowboats to do your grocery shopping, but you had a lot of rain here sometime, I think, not too long ago, or in some of those areas. It's easy for us to respond to circumstances and to respond, you know, wishing that things were different, or not respond well. If you want to open your Bibles, I'd like to read a passage from James chapter 3 this morning. Starting at verse 13, this is breaking in. It's a discourse that's talking significantly. James talks significantly about the use of the tongue, and this is kind of a spin-off of that or tied into that in a way, but I want to read verse 13 to 17. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his words with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Menno Kunz ties this verse 17 to Proverbs 9, verse 1. Just kind of a curious little aside here. Verse 1 of Proverbs 9, wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. It's a proverb that kind of stands alone, like many of the proverbs do. Here in James, we have a list of seven words or phrases that talks about the wisdom from above. So if this is the seven pillars from Proverbs 9:1 or not, I don't know, but it's interesting. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. There's a bad kind of wisdom that's earthly, sensual, and devilish. These are the hallmarks of a mind that's bogged down with envy and strife. It's the kind of mind, I think, that Ahab had, that Nabal had, that Saul had, that Jezebel had. And it's the kind of mind that I have when I give in to envy and strife. In contrast, the wisdom that is from above is beautiful. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I'm fascinated by this wisdom from above this morning. It's so clean, so pure, so approachable, so considerate, so merciful. In a word, gracious. You know, I'm especially intrigued with the phrase "easy to be entreated" this morning. We probably all know people who aren't particularly easy to be entreated. Sometimes it's us. People who basically aren't open. People who believe there are two sides to every discussion, my side and the wrong side. Where discussion screeches to a halt once this person has said their piece. People who are argumentative, who are opinionated. People who insert or escalate tension whenever they enter into a discussion. By contrast, there's people who possess this heavenly wisdom that are so gracious. Any discussion, anything, even when they disagree, they can disagree agreeably. They can graciously, lovingly keep discussing, even when they're on a completely different page with the person that they're discussing with. When both sides have heavenly wisdom, these can be wonderful exchanges. Public meetings can be wonderful displays of brotherhood. I think a person who has this wisdom is a person who has learned the life of servanthood, one who is following the lead of that great teacher, how Paul describes it in Philippians 2. He who took upon himself the form of a servant was made in the likeness of man. He modeled for us the life of servanthood and self-sacrifice. Secondly, the wisdom from above is attainable. So can ordinary man have any hope of attaining this wisdom from above? I think so. I like 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. There's something about walking honestly in the light that both allows and enjoys Christ's cleansing, overpowering work to operate in our lives. To allow that transformed mind to take center stage. Is the wisdom from above attainable? I think so. But you might say, I can never possess all seven things in that list. And of our own selves, we probably never will. Philippians 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We may not have the strength, and sometimes we even lack the desire, but God is there to both supply the will and the way to do his good pleasure. Is this wisdom, this heavenly wisdom, attainable? I think so. Point 3, the wisdom from above is the response of a genuinely grateful person. So what if I don't possess this heavenly wisdom? What's wrong with me? last Sunday, I think it was, Esther Utsi said something profound in this regard in her testimony when they were taken in as members. She said something like this: I feel that I've received much grace from others, and I want in turn to extend that grace to the brotherhood. You know, our ability to live graciously, to possess the heavenly wisdom, is in a large part the response of a grateful heart that has received grace and is compelled to extend that to others. This grace needs to come first of all from God, and it often comes from our fellow man. We have been so blessed by the God of heaven. This past week, some of us were gathered. We looked at the plight of followers of Muhammad, millions and millions who've never heard of the call of Jesus Christ. We've heard from our childhood. As a people, we are so blessed this morning. Let's be grateful. And as we face life, let's respond in gratitude with that wisdom from above. Let's free God to work in our lives. So in the coming week, in the coming weeks, we can model, live, and possess, and show that wisdom from above to the people we come in contact with. Let's kneel for prayer. Dear God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for this wisdom from above, and we just pray that you would, we would open our hearts, that you could allow that wisdom from above to live, to rule, to reign in our hearts. I just pray that you would give us your strength, your courage. Pray for every part of this service this morning. Be with the Sunday school teachers. Be with the one who brings the message, that we together could be edified and blessed in our walk with you. Thank you, in Jesus' name.